Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Father Schoeffel welcoming you to our regular monthly program, Monday Mornings from Concordia Seminary, on this first Monday in July. I hope all of you are enjoying this 4th of July weekend and that you have an opportunity for some fun and relaxation. Here at the seminary, things are continuing at the usual summer pace. The first term of summer school has just ended, and the second term, as well as another short term, begin tomorrow and the following day. Before we get into our program for today, I'd like to call your attention to two major events which are coming up altogether too soon. The first is on Friday evening, September 3rd, when the opening service will be held here on campus. Of particular significance this year is the fact that the seminary's 8th president, Dr. Carl Barth, will be installed that evening. We hope all of you in our radio audience will mark that date and that you will find it possible to be here. The service begins at 7 o'clock in the evening in the chapel. The sermon will be preached by Dr. Ralph Foreman, president of the Synod. Then on Sunday, September 19th, at 3:30 in the afternoon, there will be an official inauguration of Dr. Barth as president. These ceremonies will be held outdoors, weather permitting, near the Luther statue. In the event that it does rain, we'll move into the field house. So we are already in the midst of planning this event, and we certainly hope that all of you will be here for that. We have in our studio today a most interesting guest, a man by the name of Bob Paulson. Bob, I understand that you are enrolled here at the seminary and that you arrived here in St. Louis about 3 weeks ago. Tell me, where were you and what were you doing about a month ago?
I'm glad to be here, Gladys. And to answer your question, a month ago, I was in California on our farm, sitting on a tractor with lots of good California dust.
You're kidding.
Yes. As life has so led us, that I am now here and very thankful to God that I am here.
And what have you been doing for the last 3 weeks?
Studying Greek.
And nothing but Greek?
Nothing but Greek. Starting the first thing in the morning, attending 2 class sessions during the day, and maybe till midnight every night.
Well, that's quite a switch from riding a tractor to being in the classroom and then studying all day and half the night, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How are you reacting to it? Is it, I'm sure it must be very tough, but you don't look any the worse for it.
No, it's been definitely a challenge for me in the fact that I am not as young as I used to be. This is a change of career and a change of pace for me. And the fact that I have also been out of school for about 20 years. So my real first exam that really counted was during that first week in what Dr. Herbert calls our tea parties, the quizzes that we have in Greek vocabulary and grammar. But I am surviving, and I feel for an older gentleman, I am doing quite well.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have a terrific story to tell. What kind of farm did you, mentioned a tractor. Tell us a little bit about this. This is in California? Where in California?
Yes, we're just inland from San Francisco, due east of the city, about 35 miles in what most of you probably would call the greater San Joaquin Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a part of the family farming operation. In fact, grew up in that area and on that farm. And my father and I have been farming together since I got out of the service in 1964. A 2,000-acre operation, mainly of cannery tomatoes, green market tomatoes, fresh market cauliflower, winter peas, some grain, some sugar beets.
Did you say 2,000 acres?
Yes, 2,000 acres.
For us in the Midwest, that's a little hard to imagine.
Yes, but for California, a little farther south from us, you might find 40,000, 50,000 acre ranches.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in our particular area, we're not small and we're not big, but we're a little larger than average.
Uh-huh. That sounds absolutely fascinating. Just to give us a little bit of a picture, Do you have, I imagine in California, you keep replanting and reseeding. Do you have several harvests?
Yes, we do, based on the crop, although we do only get one crop of tomatoes a year, one crop of cauliflower, although we do plant some cauliflower in the later fall that we do harvest in March, and then plant again in June and July for a harvest again around Thanksgiving time. But we do have crops that are in the process of growing or planting or harvesting something almost year-round.
Year-round. Well, I'm curious, how many people does that take to run this kind of operation?
During the normal busy summer part of the season, we do a lot of irrigating and cultivating and tractor work. And believe it or not, we do get a little rain in California.
Mm-hmm.
So winter months that we cut this crew down, but we have 10 or 12 employees, not counting my father and myself. During the peak of the season, when a lot of crop thinning and weeding and harvest operations are going, if there would maybe be up to anywhere from 50 to 150.
Mm-hmm.
So we have quite an exposure of dealing with people and especially from the employee-employer relationship.
I'm sure you do. Well, I'm not the only one, I'm sure, who's wondering why in the world are you here on the campus of Concordia Seminary? Did something go wrong with your operation, which I'm assuming is, in dollars and cents, what, a million?
Maybe $2 million.
$2 million operation.
Yeah. Very close. No, nothing did go wrong. In fact, maybe I could preclude a few comments with a statement to the effect that really all of life's experiences, and I include that from my grammar school, high school, as well as college days, experience in the military, and especially those experiences as an independent businessman, that all of these experiences, by the grace and will of God, mold and shape us as to really who we are and why I'm here anyway.
You are so right. How about starting at the beginning? Maybe with high school, graduating from high school?
Yes, I think we can even answer your question as to why I'm here, if anything went wrong, or how I got here. But I can recall back even to high school days that the encouragement of mother and father and pastor for my continued involvement and for leadership development as far as Walter Lee in those days are
gone
now. And as I became more directly involved with the Walter League in those days and became zone president and later became district vice president, and how my involvement with church through Walter League, I had a great inspiration and desire to become involved full-time with the church as an ambassador of the gospel, but as a foreign missionary.
Oh.
And quite a novelty, at least as I had understood in those particular days, at least at that time, as I was in contact even during high school with the Synodical Foreign Mission Board, I had my heart set on going to New Guinea as an agricultural missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And through their encouragement, I did enter California Concordia College following high school graduation, and with the intent of going abroad as a missionary and hopefully to New Guinea. And even in those days, I can tell you probably every variety of sweet potato was raised in New Guinea.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Really gone into this. With the idea of becoming an ordained pastor and then going abroad. And this is at the Synod's encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Synodical Convention was in San Francisco right at that time also. And we as Concordians were involved with as pages and as participants in introduction of some contemporary liturgies.
Mm-hmm. This was in about 1955, was it?
57, 58,
57. Oh, okay.
Somewhere
right
in there.
Yeah.
And I did have a chance to talk to the secretary of Synodical Foreign Missions, who had the display that they had set up in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
at the Civic Center for the convention. And having talked with him, that I became somewhat discouraged in the fact that this whole type of endeavor was somewhat of a novelty presented at the time, and as usual, we are always short of funds to engage such type of activity. And I was encouraged then to go on to ag school and stay in touch with him, and which I did. I transferred to the University of California, Davis. And having state close contact with the mission board, that nothing was available at that time. So we go into the military, and after I just had the ROTC program, and I went as a commissioned officer and served 2 years. And he sent us out to our farm in California.
Were you married by this time?
Yes, I was.
Oh.
I met my wife in at UC Davis. She was a student there, an art major. And she was from a Methodist background, really non-active Methodist background. And she was baptized and was confirmed as far as our engagement, even before we graduated. And we do have two children. One was born while we were in the service, a daughter who is now a sophomore at California Lutheran College in Thousand Oaks, California, which is the north of Los Angeles. And a son that we were traveling and moving to St. Louis with us, who is a junior in high school. So I went back to those, all of that whole time, and I guess I was too close to it then. Maybe in being discouraged that maybe there was not a place for me as a full-time church work, and almost became heartbroken over it, I guess. But the time went on, I became very comfortable with my life as a struggling young farmer and a businessman, and also as a family man.
Were you a partner then with your family's company?
Yes, we incorporated, which was the thing to do because for estate planning and also for tax purposes.
Oh, yeah.
We did incorporate, and I was a 50% shareholder and equal with my father in this operation.
So you were saying that you were living comfortably and everything was going along smoothly.
Yes, and I was very satisfied with my, I felt very comfortable with my service not only to God and to fellow man, because of the very function that we played and farming. Farmers do play in providing for the very essential and physical physical needs that we have. And that is food and fiber.
Yeah.
And I felt very comfortable with my role of service in that way. But as time went on, I guess it became more deeply down inside a discontentment or an uneasiness as far as my full role and unfulfillment, I guess you would say. And that maybe I really wasn't using the talents that God had given me, and the experience that I had had, not only through school and college, and my involvement with student government, President Eisenhower's conference on children and youth, 4-H, student body president at UC Davis, my involvement with state and local and state agricultural boards, an agricultural leadership training program that came as a result of this.
Tell us something about that. That sounds interesting.
Well, this was about 2 years ago, and was probably one of the big turning points of where, for my decision that I had to be about what I had to be about. I was selected to be in a group of 30 farmers between the ages of 27 and 40 that were involved in a 2-year training program covering an in-depth study of economics, of government, communication, social cultural understanding. The first year was dealing directly with the local, state, and national issues in all of those areas. The second year was national and international. We were involved 3 to 5 consecutive days each month on one of the university campuses, or with private or public entities, business as well as government, for the training. The first year did involve a statewide tour, which took us into Alabama and Georgia for about a week, and then on to Washington, D.C. with our national government, meeting some very important people and having interviews and sessions with people like Tip O'Neill or the governors of Alabama and Georgia, into the counties, with their school systems, whatever makes the society tick.
That must have been a very good, rich experience.
Very much so. Especially the second year, when we did have some travel experience as part of our international studies, of Economics, Communications, Government, Social Cultural Things. It took us into London for several days in preparation for the most fascinating and enriching experience to Egypt, into Cairo, down to Luxor, taking the valley between King of Queens and the Temple of Karnak, down into King Tut's tomb, and several others, on to Aswan, to the High Dam. We met with one gentleman who unfortunately was one of those assassinated in the president, when President Sadat was assassinated. We had about a 3-hour visit with him. The Minister of Agriculture, we met with the people, we were down on the streets, we were into the market, we had an exposure to just about everything that makes Egypt tick, from Moron to Nairobi, Kenya. We were out with some of the native black tribes, the Maasai tribes. We had an experience out on, for a day or two, out on safari country. We met with United Nations people, again, with the people and all the whole society. Under Johannesburg, South Africa, a beautiful country. You hardly know there's any difference in America except some very serious issues of the apartheid government. We met with native black people as well as the colored people, which is also another breakdown of their whole society in classes or groups of people. We did have a bus trip up into Botswana, into Gaborone. We met with their president, and we were only several miles away from Missouri Synod's mission endeavor in Botswana. And I had hoped that we would be able to see a little bit more of that. And then back on to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and come back on home again.
How much time did this
I lived on for a little over 30 days.
Wow.
I think my experience is probably one of the biggest turning points in my life. As far as my decision that I had to be about full-time work in the church, that I was even challenged by other farmers, that, and I thank God for his moving mood, even unbeknownst to me, how he was using me for the example that I was setting, or what something that they saw in me, because I was even challenged by, fellow farmers on this trip, sitting right even in at the foot of the pyramids in Egypt, that why was I a farmer? That maybe I was not using my time for what was best for me and best for service to not only to our fellow man, but also to God also.
Well, that's all, it's like having God speak to you directly, isn't it?
For sure, it was a very difficult time for me and this inner turmoil, I guess, and I, looking back now, I begin to really wonder why life really had become so difficult for me for the last 3, 4, 5, 7 years. That it's really an unfulfillment, and I guess even a fear of even sharing that with a lot of even family and friends. That you hear so much about the career crisis syndrome and stuff that a lot of people have, and but this I did not deal with the case for me. But yet I don't really care what people think I have to be about. The business that I have to be about. And
I was going to ask you, did you share your feelings with your family or?
Not at first.
At first,
Didn't, and then finally got to the point where I just had to unload it all and really surrender. And I guess for a long time I felt that I had to have a lot of things in order. The ranch, my commitment to my mother and father, to the rest of our family, the workload and the management necessities that my father's close to 75 years old. Although very, very active, he reacts to things like he was in his mid-50s and looks at you also. But how they would take all of this, including my wife and children, and when I did announce that I had to do this, that they were all one with me. Thankful that God had so led me in this particular way. But again, the question came, how are we going to finance all of this? For myself in school, I had a daughter that's 7,000 to 8,000 a year to keep her in school. A son that while we're still here at Concordia, that he will have to be off to college also. And then there's three of us in school, how are we going to put this together? And I assure you that God uses many people for and will our lives and how things fall into place.
You are very correct. What was your final turning point, or at what point did you make the decision? I'm just interested in knowing that. Or was it so gradual that you don't...
It was a gradual thing, but yes, there was a point. And I think it was my visit here.
When did that take place?
Kathy and Brent and I decided that we needed to get away. This has not been too usual for us because of the involvement with farming operations. And we decided to spend that time back for a visit here at Concordia, St. Louis.
Oh, you had been here?
Yes, we came in March.
Oh, but before that you had never been here. Oh, okay.
And for Pastor Benke from recruitment and missions office, greeted us here, and we had a chance to meet many of the seminarians, many of the faculty people, and we were introduced to another second career seminarian, who he and his wife took us into their home, and we had dinner with him that evening, shared a lot with him, and he told me some of my plight, and I was just kind of uncertain as to what I should do about all of this decision, and he basically slapped my hands pretty hard and told me that I should make the decision and then sit back and watch everything fall into place. And so going back on the airplane, as we're flying back to California, that basically made the decision that the application is going, and we will pave the way accordingly. And just as he said, everything fell into place, how we were going to finance all of this and how we were going to undo all of the doings, my involvement and commitment and financial involvement in that with the rent, how that all came into being, how the help to my parents and to keep their whole life and the farm going, and my brother returned to the ranch. He was a corporate pilot. He returned, and my brother-in-law showed up on the scene.
My goodness.
And so the way was paved, and even to this day, that any additional doors continue to be open, and I am certain that this is God's will for me and my family.
I think that is just a wonderful story of trust and confidence that all of us could do well to learn from. I just really, I'm overwhelmed by your message.
I assure you that I have learned one lesson very, very well. That indeed, all of our experiences in life, the successes, the failures, and all, are willed by God, and that He uses us and uses these experiences in His time and in His place and for His purposes. And certainly the work of His whole person, the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sanctifier, that we do His will as He does.
But to think that He is, humanly speaking, very, very successful man in a business operation, and using your business head and have somebody tell you, well, you make the decision first and everything else will fall into place. Even humanly speaking, that is nothing short of a miracle, is it?
No, it is not. But yet, I should have known better, because we do this every day in the farming operation. Every farmer does this. In faith, you put the seed in the ground every spring or whenever, not knowing whether the rain is going to come early or the insects are going to eat or the disease, or like in California, the Mediterranean fruit flies to destroy us. But we do put that seed in every year in hope and with faith that there will be a harvest, and that man's institution of banking and everything, that their loan will be paid back at the end of the year. There are times when we haven't been paid back, many, many times. But in the long run, that we've certainly been blessed, and I should have known better when Rick told me that I was looking at it very wrongly, because I would not even begin to look at that even in or look at it that way. But I guess trying to pull my experiences from there and making direct applications elsewhere is something that I have to go with. By the grace of God, I will still do.
Well, Bob, we sincerely thank you for sharing your story and your message with us this morning. We've just got to have you back on this program again sometime, but I can assure you that all of us here at the seminary and everyone in the radio audience wishes you God very rich blessings as you continue your studies here at the seminary.
I'm very happy to be here, and I Thank God for placing me here at Concordia Center.
Thank you.